thirsty no more.
Hey, got coins? Well, if you do, odds are you haven't been using them much lately due to the coronavirus sheltering. But swapping $10 in coins for paper money could get you a free sandwich. Yep, it's just one more example of collateral damage from the coronavirus outbreak, a shortage of coins in circulation. First up today, financial planner and teacher Rob West explains why this is happening and where you can cash in. Then it's your calls at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. The COVID coin shortage, who knew? Next on MoneyWise Live. All right, Rob, you know, most of the time people are looking for ways to get rid of their coins. They don't want to carry it around in their pockets, things like that. So how can there possibly be a shortage of them?
That's a good question, Steve. It does sound weird, but understand there's probably about the same amount of coins out there as before the pandemic hit. It's just that they're not getting into circulation. Folks are using credit and debit cards as online purchasing has literally soared during the crisis. And when folks do go out, they're more likely to use plastic or digital payment options. The upshot is that brick and mortar merchants are struggling to make change because fewer coins are actually in circulation.
Okay, fair enough. I have a roll of quarters all ready to swap for a $10 bill. But where do I get my free sandwich, sir?
Well, you need to start driving. What we know so far is that two Chick-fil-A locations in Huntsville, Alabama and Lynchburg, Virginia have been offering customers free food options if they'll exchange their coins for paper currency.
I don't know. We love Chick-fil-A, but that seems like an awfully long way to drive just for one of those sandwiches. Unless, of course, they're throwing in the fries.
Right, of course. And you're right. You know. That is a bit of a long drive. But we mention that just to illustrate the extent of the problem that merchants are having. You know, we know that in some instances they're rounding up prices, in fact, to the next highest or lowest dollar amount to account for this.
Seems like that would be pretty unpopular about it. Well, I don't know, half the time anyway. Is Washington aware of this problem, and are they doing anything about it?
Well, they're definitely aware. In a recent congressional hearing, Tennessee Congressman John Rose told the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell that banks in his state were seeing a shortage of coins being deposited. He wanted to know what's being done to alleviate the problem.
Any idea what the answer was?
I do, and not much. Powell said the central bank is working to increase the flow of coins, but their options are limited. You see, you can't force people to spend or turn in coins, at least not yet. Powell blamed state-mandated shutdowns for the problem, saying they've played a major role in reducing the amount of coins in circulation. And while the U.S. Mint usually cranks out more coinage as needed for the economy, well, it hasn't been able to increase production, again, due to COVID-related work disruption. In fact, the Mint has issued a statement asking for help. Here's what it reads. I quote, "We ask that the American public start spending their coins, depositing them or exchanging them for currency at financial institutions or taking them to a coin redemption kiosk," unquote. The statement went on to say, Steve, that there are plenty of coins out there, but because circulation is down, sometimes there's a shortage where needed.
Wow, okay. Maybe this shows that we don't really need coins anymore. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we're still pretty far away from that, although the pandemic has certainly moved the needle toward a paperless, or I should say coinless, economy. Millions of people are becoming more comfortable using their smartphones to pay for things as a result of the pandemic. But that doesn't help brick-and-mortar businesses like restaurants and convenience stores that still have to deal with customers who buy things with cash, like you, Steve Moore.
Oh, so now I'm the problem. Great. Okay. I do have to confess, I know where a lot of those coins are. They're on my dresser at home.
Yes.
I have a
That's
pile of
where
them.
They accumulate.
Any idea when we can expect this coin shortage to end? Because I'm not sleeping well. You know,
there are signs that it's already happening as more states ease restrictions and closures. We're all hoping that the coin shortage and the coronavirus crisis itself will soon be a thing of the past. Let me just mention quickly, Steve, while we're talking about transacting business online, as more and more people are doing that, and I certainly have no problem with that, there are some steps you can take to keep yourself safe, and I would encourage these. Number one, don't ever log into a financial institution from public Wi-Fi. Make sure you use strong passwords. Don't repeat the same one for everything. Use antivirus software. And finally, never click on a link in an email. You might be subject to a phishing scheme.
Great suggestions, Rob. Hey, if you'd like to speak with Rob about anything financial, here's the number, 800-525-7000. Call right now, 800-525-7000.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
It's an election year, of course. That means you're hearing a lot of ideas about how to improve our country. But will any of them really work? Here's what Billy Graham thought.
No ideology existing today is going to last. None.
So, is there any good news?
God has other plans. He has a plan that Christ is going to be on the throne. And Christ is going to rule. And evil will be destroyed. There is going to be universal joy. There is going to be universal peace. There is going to be universal justice. And the scripture says that you and I have to make a choice.
What is that choice? It's deciding if you're going to start a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can tell you why you ought to do that at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, today is your lucky day. You know you've been wanting to call, meaning to call, just didn't have time. There weren't any open lines. Well, guess what? We have lots of open lines today, and this would be a great time for you to call. We'd love to chat. 800-525-7000. Anything financial is fair game with Rob West. 800-525-7000. And I'd like to say that every caller today gets a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. I'd like to say that, but I can't, really. We just don't have anything set up to do that. But, Rob, why don't you, you know, Jim Henry is the kind of, he does our research and sweeps up around. Maybe he could work that out for us. What do you think?
He can usually do just about anything, so I wouldn't put it past him, Steve.
Exactly. Jim, get to work on that, buddy. 800-525-7000, Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Pat. How can we help?
Hey, I enjoy your show. And
thanks.
Coming up on 60, you guys do a great job, by the way. One of the few very sensible programs. I've listened to you a lot. I'm coming up on 60 years old next year. I'm thinking about retiring. I can retire right now and take a pension. My plan, I have a 401k, and I've funded that fairly well. I have a choice between a lump sum and an annuity. And everyone I know seems to be saying, oh, take the lump sum, except for a good friend of mine. And we talk about this a lot. Cars are paid for, house is paid for, I'm debt free. Kids are pretty much taken care of. The way I have a military pension that will start as soon as I retire from my current job. I am thinking of, even though like the lump sum is significant, if I take the annuity, that's sort of free money for me, and I can leave my 401k in the market, sort of fully vested, between the annuity, my military pension, and some other investments that I have. I can pretty much live on that, and maybe only take 1 or 2% of the year of my 401k, or maybe none for a while. But everybody else I know seems to say, "Wow, take that lump sum. It's a lot of money." But they seem like they all have guys who tell them to take the lump sum. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that. Everybody's got a guy. I don't have a guy. I did it myself to help with reading and stuff. But everybody's got a guy who seems to say, "Hey, take that lump sum. What are your thoughts?"
All right.
Well, another guy, let me try to weigh in on this, Pat. And it's a great question. And unfortunately, the best answer is it depends on your situation. But let me help you process through this. There's something to be said about having the lump sum principle so you can take it, access the money if you need it for a major unexpected expense. But with that, you obviously have to bear the responsibility of the management. And so other folks will say, "I don't want to assume the responsibility associated with taking this lump sum, putting it to work, and turning it into an income stream that would be reasonable and equivalent or exceed what I would be receiving in terms of a guaranteed monthly payout for the rest of my life through the pension." And so other folks will say, "I would rather have the peace of mind knowing that I don't have to think about the stock market. I don't have to take any responsibility with it. I just get that mailbox money, if you will, where every month I go out there, I get the check. I know that that plus Social Security is going to cover my monthly bills. So at a minimum, those are paid. And then I have other assets, namely the 401k and other savings that if I needed to tap into that, it's there." So I think that's really the decision point. And what factors into that is your other savings and your spending plan. So what is it going to take to fund your lifestyle in retirement? And what income sources do you have that you can count on? You've got Social Security. If you were to add this pension to it, would that equal everything you need? And would that give you some comfort to know that that's at a minimum covered? Or are you saying, "No, I think I could very easily fund my lifestyle with what I have. I'd rather have the money, have access to it, be able to tap into it if I had a major unexpected expense." So that's kind of the philosophical and financial side that you need to process through. The other piece is just the equivalent rate of return you would get on the lump sum. So you'd want to compare the monthly payout to the internal rate of return you'd have to achieve on that lump sum to achieve the same monthly amount. And that will tell you whether they're giving you a good amount in the form of a lump sum, because you could translate that into a similar monthly payment without taking unnecessary risk. And I would use as a starting point the percentage of that being 4%. I'm throwing a lot at you there. Tell me if you follow what I'm saying.
I do. And I sort of, math that out. And I guess my thing is, between my if I took the annuity, my military pension, and then other investments I have, savings, I think I can pretty much live. I'm pretty sure I can really live on that and not touch the 401k. And number one, be more aggressive in the market with the 401k. And then the investment guys will tell you, so when I die, my wife gets the full portion. And then they say, "Well, yeah, but when you both die, then no one gets anything. It's done." But I have a significant 401k that should build and that will build hopefully in 10, 20, 30 years. And how much money do you want to leave your kids? I want to be, I want to leave money to the church and things like that, which I do now. But how much is enough? I don't understand that. And quite frankly, I think the investment advisors are being driven by, I'm going to get that 1%, it's a bit difficult because everybody I know, take that lump sum.
I don't think it's as cut and dry as that. Yeah, I don't think it's as cut and dry as that, Pat. And it sounds like to me, just as I'm hearing you process through it, you're leaning toward the annuity. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because to your point, if you can add the annuity together with the military retirement, together with Social Security, and you know that your lifestyle is covered for you and your wife for the rest of your life, and theoretically, you don't have to touch the 401k, so that just continues to grow, which is something that's there for giving now and in the future and to pass on to heirs. That's great. Perhaps one other thing to consider is to build into that spending plan, if you can, a long-term care insurance policy, because that's probably your greatest risk to erode your assets during this season of life if you were to have to go into skilled care, nursing home, assisted living, in-home care, something like that. But I wouldn't hesitate to go that direction. It sounds like that's going to give you greater peace of mind.
Yeah, Pat, great question and comment today, and you made me chuckle, buddy. Everyone's got a guy. Rob West is our money guy. You can reach him right now by calling 800-525-7000. Paris, Florida. Hello, Paul. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm 83 years old, and I'm fixing to retire in February.
Okay.
And I was wondering if I take my lump sum and put it in a conventional IRA, would I have to pay the taxes before I put it in or as I take it out?
Yeah, Paul, is this a 401k or what do you have?
No, it's just a state retirement.
Okay. Yeah, if it was if the money was put in there on a tax on a pre-tax basis, meaning it was salary deferral, you didn't pay tax on it, it's been growing tax deferred, you should be able just to roll that over to an IRA once you separate from employment. And when you do that, that will be a non-taxable event. You don't want to take a check. You're going to want to open that IRA wherever you're going to have that custodied, if you will. And when you do that, you'll want to get the surrender paperwork from the retirement plan that you have at work. You'll put down the information for that new IRA, and they will do a rollover, which simply means the check will be mailed directly to the custodian of your new traditional IRA. The amount will be deposited as cash, and then it can be invested, but that is not a taxable event. It will not be taxable to you until you start withdrawing it.
Now, they won't, like if I needed to get it out like 3 months later, I would have to pay the tax on it, right? Whatever.
That's
I
correct.
Get out.
Yes, sir. So as you take the withdrawals from the IRA, it becomes taxable to you as income, and you just add that to your federal and state tax return for the year. Well, no state tax in Florida, so just federal.
Hey, Paul, we have to hit a break here, but if you don't mind me asking, you've worked now until age 83. How have you managed to work so long, and how come?
I guess I'm just tough. That's what they tell me.
You're one of those tough old birds I keep hearing about, huh?
Yeah. One of Florida crackers.
Florida crackers. Okay. Well, God bless you, Paul. Thank you very much for calling, and we wish you the very best as you enter your retirement. I don't think anybody would quibble with that at age 83. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Back with more and your calls, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Malachi, an oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. He says in verse 2, "I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother?" The Lord says, "Yet I have loved Jacob, But Esau I have hated, and I have turned his mountain into wastelands and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. All right. Very, very important. Stick with me here. Israel is often called Jacob in the Word of God. Oh, God of Jacob. When it talks about Jacob's trouble, it's giving the entire nation the one name. In Malachi, Esau is the Edomites, and Jacob is the Israelites. So it's talking about nations there and not individuals. So that gives those on that side of the theological spectrum, that's a big win for them. Because what is said in the prophecy to Rebecca in Genesis is two nations are in your womb. Not just two individuals, two nations are in your womb. This is not at all clear. And what it's going to come down to is God can do what he wants. Really, the biggest question we've got before us is what kind of God do we have? Because we're not going to get figured out how and what he's doing. What we are going to need to figure out is what kind of God do we have? I got to figure out, can I trust my God?
Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Class begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Really super to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live. We're talking about, well, anything financial that's of interest to you will more than likely be of interest to us. 800-525-7000. You know, at the top of the program today, Rob, we were talking about the COVID coin shortage that we're in the midst of. Let's see, Bill in Lake Placid, Florida called in with a comment. He said, I took my coins to Home Depot. I got a $10 gift card to Subway. Also getting hazard pay from Home Depot for working during COVID-19. So a couple of different things there. But, yeah, apparently there are places like Home Depot that if you take your coins in, give them your coins, put them in their machine, they give you a $10 gift card to Subway. That's kind of cool. And getting hazard pay from Home Depot for working during COVID-19, I guess that's just a sign of the times, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess it is. Absolutely. Wow.
Okay, let's go back to our phones. Let's see. Let's try Maple Park, Illinois. Hello, Chris. Thanks for calling today. What's on your mind?
Hello there.
Hi, Chris.
Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, as you had mentioned, there's more internet purchases being made. And I was wondering if organizations like PayPal, if they add another layer of security or not really.
Well, you know, these days, Chris, the large sites where you're transacting business, especially those like PayPal and Venmo and others, I mean, they rely on security. Apart from having a secure transaction, they don't really have a business. And so they are doing absolutely everything they can to put all kinds of security features and redundancies in place to protect your information, to make sure the transactions are secure. PayPal would be, you know, one of the biggest, and certainly doing everything they can as a reputable company to provide that solid security. But with that said, despite every best effort on the part of any number of major corporations, including the U.S. government, anything can be hacked in theory. So, you know, you still have to follow the proper safeguards, not accessing accounts or websites that you do business with financially or where you transact business through public Wi-Fi. Make sure you use a pretty strong password. I'd use a password generator. I know I do that with myself. So every login has a different password, and the character, the string has at least 12 to 15 characters. characters in it and then change those regularly. I think doing those kinds of things in addition to just monitoring all of your accounts, be it credit cards or even a PayPal account or Venmo for unusual activity, is really a best practice to try to safeguard you against a hack of some kind. Now, that's not going to prevent somebody from getting your information, at which point you might need to take other measures. And there's a lot of great information out there at the FCC's website about what to do if you've been the victim of identity theft. But I think there's nothing wrong with PayPal in and of itself. And I would just say that that organization, along with so many of these others, are just doing everything they can. And with more and more business being done online, I think it's just a reality of kind of the way we're headed with our economy. So I don't really have any anything negative to say in general about PayPal.
Chris, thanks. Great question. And you just can't be too cautious these days. We appreciate that. Thank you. Andalusia, Illinois. Teresa, what's on your mind?
Yes. My husband just retired, and we had our financial advisor over yesterday, and we were talking about the RMEs when you reach 72 years of age.
Yeah.
And I was just curious. Well, I had heard you once before talking with a lady that she would give to the church to avoid taxes on that. And my husband and I, he's wanting to just take a one-time contribution, like we tithe every week faithfully, and we give off the top. And he's wanting to do that once a year because of the tax break. And I'm not so certain biblically, if that's okay to do that, or because, you know, when it says to give, you know, on the first day of the week, we're kind of both at odds on this. Not nothing major, but, you know, I'm just not sure what would be the proper way to do that.
Sure. Well, first of all, I love that you're thinking ahead, Teresa, and really planning for how you can continue to do your giving and do it in a way that's wise, meaning you pay as little tax as possible so that the ministry or charity can receive as much as possible. There's no problem in doing that. And when you have to start taking that RMD, the QCD, the Qualified Charitable Distribution, is a great way to do it. And I don't think there's any issue with doing that once a year. In fact, the ministry will love it if you do it at the beginning of the year because they get the money sooner. And I think the Lord sees your heart, and I think that's the key here. Hey, stay on the line. We got to hit a break, but we can talk a bit more off air.
Thanks, Teresa. You stay with us. More Money Wise Live when we return.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Aaron, production assistant at Moody Radio. The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Proverbs 4, 5-7. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. That's Proverbs 4, 5-7, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
We all long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The death toll from Hurricane Laura has risen to at least 11 now, and hundreds of thousands of people across Louisiana still without water and power. Officials said that those services could be knocked out for weeks or longer along parts of the Gulf Coast. Laura made landfall as one of the most powerful hurricanes to ever hit the U.S. The NBA playoffs resumed Saturday after the league and the National Basketball Players Association detailed the commitments that made players comfortable continuing the postseason. In a joint statement, the sides said they will immediately establish a social justice coalition made up of players, coaches, and owners. And President Trump traveling to Manchester, New Hampshire this evening for a post-RNC rally. On Wall Street, stocks finishing higher. The Dow gained 161 points, the NASDAQ up 70, the S&P tacked on 23. This is SRN News.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live, where timeless wisdom, God's wisdom, meets today's financial choices and decisions. If we can help you with anything along those lines, or maybe even car repair, give us a call, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. You know what feels good in your hand, Rob, is a real high-quality ratchet or open-end wrench, you know, when you are working on your car. Would you concur with that? You know, high-quality.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Even though I would not be one known to work on my own car. It's beneath me. I just wouldn't know what to do.
Well, see, but you're not the car guy. You know, as an earlier caller, you were saying, everyone has a guy. And yeah, it helps if you have a car guy, but you're the money guy. You don't know.
Yes, okay. I'll take that.
Plus, you know, you don't like to get your little pink fingers dirty.
Oh,
I know
boy,
how that
there
is.
There we go.
Okay. Moline, Illinois. Hey, Diane. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hi. I am calling in regards to an offer I received for a zero interest charge on a credit card, and I have a high interest credit card, and I have $4,000 on it, and I was wondering if it is wise to do a transfer over like that, if it would hurt my credit rating or anything.
Yeah. It's a good question, Diane. I'm not a big fan of the balance transfer. Now, I realize it can make some sense if you're on a high interest and you're going to no interest and you've got 18 months to do it or whatever the offer is, and you know, have a plan to pay it down during that time or hopefully pay it off. The challenge is so often we're just kind of masking the underlying issue that led to the debt in the first place, which typically is spending without a spending plan or overspending or whatever it might be. Now, there may have been unusual circumstances that led to the debt in the first place, but often it's just kind of lifestyle creep, if you will, where we spend beyond what we have, and therefore we take the pressure off with the balance transfer, and then perhaps the card we left, we start charging again, and now all of a sudden we have two balances. So because of that, I would rather see you do credit counseling, which that doesn't factor into your credit score per se. The account would be closed, the interest rate would be lower, and you'd have one fixed monthly payment until it's paid off. Generally, you pay it off 80% faster when you use credit counseling. But if you said, Rob, I've corrected the problem, I'm disciplined, I'm living on a budget, I've done that for 6 months, I have margin, I'm just trying to, while I pay it off, save the interest, certainly you could take advantage of that. I wouldn't try to do that more than once. You may see a slight dip in your credit score just because when you open that new account, that's more credit that's available to you, and that balance transfer is factored in. It's not going to be a major hit, so it's not something that would prevent me. I think the bigger question is this the right decision for you, and is it going to lead you to a place where you have a stronger financial foundation under you, where you can get out of debt once and for all and live on a balanced budget? So I think those are the considerations, Diane, at this point.
Diane, we wish you the best with that great question. Thank you very much. Fort Myers next. Hi, Sam. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I just had a general question about student loan debt and investing in you know, 401k. I'm actually a physician, and I recently graduated from residency 1 year ago, so I'm kind of fresh out. And I'm in my mid-30s. I have two kids with a third on the way, and I have nothing at all tucked away for retirement. And medical education is outrageous right now, how expensive it is. So I have an immense amount of student loan debt. And so, you know, I've heard the Dave Ramsey principle of, you know, you kind of put in whatever your you know, employer will match into your 401k, but that if after that you should be trying to pay off, you know, your debt, you know, before you start really heavily investing. And I'm just getting concerned that I'm just getting further down the road than I'd like to be without anything really to my name in that regard. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that mentality. What should I maybe look to do?
Yeah, it's a great question, Sam. And I certainly can appreciate the fact that you feel like this precious time is slipping by where these compounding years are not going to be as powerful if you delay the investments. And yet, I know you want to get that student loan burden taken care of once and for all. Let me ask you, what is the balance on that student loan right now?
All right. It's right around 500,000. Right around 500,000.
Yeah. And I know that's some people may be listening right now saying, how is that even possible? And yet it absolutely is. I read an article in the Journal the other day about someone with $2 million in student loans, and they didn't ever have a plan to pay it off. They just factored in and knew it would be there the rest of their lives. Let me ask you, based on the current repayment schedule, do you know how long it will take you to pay it off?
No, not exactly, because there are some loan forgiveness programs that have not been shown whether or not they're going to be honored. And so it could be 10 years from now or, you know, worst case scenario, it could be 30 years from now.
Okay. All right. Well, generally what I would say, I mean, I realize this is it's obviously a high balance. Hopefully you're going to have a high income to go along with it. Generally what I would say is, as long as you can put a payment schedule in place that will allow you to pay it off in 10 years, I would be comfortable with you going ahead and starting your retirement savings. Perhaps you don't max it out. Generally, we'd say you want to get up to 15% going into retirement income. I'd say perhaps you go up only to 10% so you can still get a good bit, even above the minimum payment, going to the student loans, because we do want to eventually pay that off. But I would try to set a time frame to say, okay, here's what it would take for me to do this in 10 years, and then I'm going to take the difference and I'm going to go ahead and really start systematically investing in my retirement. And maybe you say, because of the balance, it's 15 years and I'm comfortable with that. But let's not just make it open-ended. Let's have a plan that's defined in advance. Let's try to keep your lifestyle at a minimum while your income is growing so you can put more and more toward debt reduction and investments. But as long as you had that 10-year plan or that 15-year plan, I'd be comfortable with you starting to accelerate those retirement contributions just because of the power of compounding. And I can certainly appreciate why you'd want to take advantage of that now. Does that make sense, Sam?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's just a really weird time right now because they have these, you know, 10-year loan forgiveness programs, but there was some question about whether they're actually going to ever be honored. I appreciate that advice. I think it makes sense, and I'm going to go forward with that.
All right. Very good, Sam. Listen, all the best to you, bud. God bless you, and thanks for calling in today.
Thanks so much, buddy. Let's try to squeeze in one more. Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Nicole, what do you have for us?
Hey, I just wanted to share a comment about the previous caller who mentioned Venmo and PayPal. So I did just go through this situation. Venmo is actually owned by PayPal. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing a larger amount of money, PayPal requires a two-part authentication. So if you're going to just do a small amount, Venmo, but if it's a larger amount, PayPal may be a better idea.
You know, I appreciate that, Nicole. I will tell you, though, I know several years back, Venmo added multi-factor authentication. You have to activate it. But basically, anytime you sign in with an unrecognized device, it requires a 6-digit code, and they'll send that to you by email, which most people will do now. And so it could be that you just need to enable the multi-factor authentication. But that's a great reminder that that's really a key security feature. Make sure you're using multi-factor authentication on all of your financial online accounts, including Venmo, PayPal, and even your bank.
Nicole, thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it. We'll be right back with more after this.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. For those of you who have been listening to me for a while and are at the point of saying, okay, I get it, I need to share my faith, but I have no idea how to do it. Well, guess what? There's no training required. You don't need anyone to teach you, you just have to do it. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciple by your love, not by your ability to follow a script or memorize scripture or even be great at talking to strangers. It's not about being gifted or talented or an extrovert or well-dressed. It's about being you. It's about being real. It's about loving people for real. It's been said that people don't care about what you say until they know you care about them. And when you simply care enough to allow God to love people through you, you'll be a great faith sharer. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
One of the common areas in our office has some beautiful flowers in a vase every day. They change color and types throughout the year. But one day last winter, I finally slowed down long enough to smell those beauties. There was no smell, and it turned out...
Those are fake.
You know, flowers can look so real, but have no life. Just like so many folks who look like they really belong to Jesus Christ, but there's no life there. Jesus described people who would come before Him on Judgment Day with lots of Christian credentials, but no real faith. He says that He will tell them that He never knew them. That's why the Bible says to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. The time to realize that you don't really know Him is now. You can avoid being turned away by acknowledging what Jesus did on the cross for you. Being real and honest about your sin and wanting Jesus to take over your life as your Savior in your heart. We'd love to help you get started. Call us at 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
Do you know if you have enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
So glad to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and my sincere apologies. This Chick-fil-A thing has come up now,
Rob.
And, Dan just contacted us, and he said, is it okay to take home some little extra things of sauce at Chick-fil-A? I don't know who would think to do that. Of course, there's the Polynesian, and then there's the honey mustard, several others. What do you think, Rob? Taking home extra sauce? I mean,
did you have lunch today?
Simple? I haven't had lunch today.
Okay.
No.
I
had two extra cups of coffee, and somehow there's been this thing that's...
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't order extra sauce with the intent of taking it home, but if it ends up in the bag and not your own doing, then absolutely it's fair.
Like that. See, intent is 9/10 of the law or something like that. They do have great sauces. Okay. All right. Dylan in Florida, thanks so much for calling us today. How can we help you?
Yeah, good afternoon. My question is... I have some money saved up where I'm able, I can pay my mortgage off. Uh-huh. But if I pay my mortgage off, I will not be able to have any emergency fund. So should I pay my mortgage off and do a HELOC in case I have an emergency, or should I keep my money and then I keep paying my mortgage?
Yeah, you know, one approach, Dylan, would just be to delay this process and continue saving. What margin do you have on a monthly basis? How much could you continue to add to savings each month moving forward?
Probably, I would say $500.
Okay, so you have $500 going into savings. Tell me, what's the balance on the mortgage?
$75,000.
Okay, and how much have you saved up? Right at $75,000, a little more?
I could say about $80,000.
Okay.
I would have probably $5,000.
Okay, yes. Very good.
And I feel like it's not enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I don't like the idea of you taking out the home equity loan just to serve as your emergency fund. In terms of your monthly expenses, what do you think your total monthly expenses are on a given 30-day period?
With my mortgage, I will say probably $2,500.
Okay, $2,500. Okay, so you would, when you get down to $5,000, you would already have 2 months worth of expenses in there. Let's say you're wrong and it's $3,000, you'd almost have 2 months expenses because you'd have $5,000 left over. I'd love for you to get up to probably at least 4 months expenses, because here's the thing: as soon as you pay it off, you could take the full amount of the mortgage. And you could add that to the $500 a month to rebuild your emergency savings. So as long as you had 3, 4, headed toward 5 months or 6 months expenses in emergency savings, then I think you're in good shape, and I'd go ahead and pay it off and not look back. So perhaps what you want to do is just delay this maybe till the end of the year, and continue to save, build that emergency fund up, and once you get to at least 3 months expenses, preferably 4, then go ahead and pay it off. But then don't increase your lifestyle at that point. Take that full mortgage payment and go ahead and bring it back into your savings to replenish that until you get to the desired amount that you have. And by the way, once you pay that mortgage off, don't forget to continue to escrow yourself for taxes and insurance so that doesn't catch you off guard next year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Dylan. Thanks for calling, bud.
Bye-bye.
Looks like we're going to go to Daniel next in Ohio. And Daniel, you're on MoneyWise Live. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This year, we have the option of being able to take out up to $100,000 out of our 401k investments. And, of course, we'll have to pay taxes on it. But I am a business owner, and my business is lower this year from profits compared to previous years. So tax-wise, I probably wouldn't have to pay a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And this year, I also took over my 401k investings myself because I got pretty upset with my investor. When COVID hit, I told him to take my money out because I knew the market was going to drop. And he didn't, and I lost 25%. So because I wanted to jump out, jump back in after COVID rolled by and, you know, make the extra money. So anyway, I'm considering, should I take this provision and take this money out of my 401k, because I've done usually pretty well with land. Like I bought some property back in 2000, and now it's worth, you know, 300% what I bought it for. And I'm considering buying some land at a lake, which, as I've looked at the land around this particular lake, it also has grown, you know, maybe even 400 to 500%. Would that be a good option, or would you recommend I do something different?
Yeah. You said he didn't sell out. So did the money stay invested the entire time, and has that 25% drop recovered?
I actually didn't know exactly what he was invested in, but I do think it did recover back. And, you know, there's now some other profits on top of that. But the investments that I made, I ended up doing 30% right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I'm now probably up, you know, 30-35%.
And have you separated from the company, Daniel, or are you still working for the same company?
I am the owner of the company, so I'm control of my own 401k.
I see. Okay, very good. You know, what I was going to say is if you ever get to the place where you sell the company or something like that, you could roll this over to what's called a self-directed IRA. And through that, you could actually invest it in real estate or land and not have the taxable event at that point. But as long as you still have this intact and you can't roll it to an IRA, then you don't have that option with a 401k. You know, I'm hesitant.
Yeah, I've got it in a nonprofit account or non-prototype 401k account.
Okay.
Don't know if I could possibly use that or not.
Yeah, probably not. You'd have to get it to a self-directed IRA, and you'd probably have trouble doing that. You may want to look into that, because I would be more comfortable with that. I think the key is, though, I hate paying all the tax right now. I'd rather this money continue to grow, and perhaps you need to just look for another investment professional that you feel like is more aligned with what you're trying to accomplish. Now, obviously, you've demonstrated significant success in land. Most people aren't able to do what you're talking about. It tends to be very illiquid. There are a number of factors there. Is there going to be the development that you're expecting that's going to create the demand? Are there utilities in there? There's just a number of issues, not to mention the fact that you can't generate income while you're waiting with raw land. So you just are counting on the appreciation. And so because of that, historically, people often do better with a high quality stock and bond portfolio where they're taking less risk and they have a more reliable return, at least historically speaking. Perhaps you split the difference and say, I'm going to, leave half of it there and take half of it out. With the risk and the return that you would expect, I'm not saying based on what you've done, because you've obviously done quite well, but typically I would say you'd be better off leaving it right where it is and find the right investment strategy for you, perhaps find the right investment professional to manage this for you, as opposed to pulling it out and taking your chances with raw land. It just historically is not going to work in your favor as well as what you might expect in the market.
Daniel, good question. Thank you very much. Hope that works for you. Let's try to squeeze in Vivian calling from Chicago. And what's your question?
Hi, thank you.
Yes.
So I have about $160,000 in savings, and I wanted some advice on how to grow my savings. I just feel like it's sitting there collecting minimal interest. Any advice?
Yeah. Why so much in savings, Vivian? Is there a specific thing you're saving for, or is this just excess?
Just a rainy day, right? Saving for my future.
Yeah. What about getting this money to work? I mean, I realize you need an emergency fund, but $160,000 is going to be quite a bit of money to have just sitting and earning interest, even though there are places perhaps you could earn a little bit more than you are now. We can talk about that. But what about getting this into a retirement account, getting it invested, something like that?
Oh, okay. Well, I have another $160,000 in investments. I have about $89,000 in a 401k for my current employer, and I have about $74,000 in a rollover IRA.
Okay. All right. And would you expect to use any portion of this $160,000 in the next 10 years? Do you have plans for that?
Eventually, I'd like to move into a slightly larger home, so most likely to move.
Okay. And so that would be, you expect, in less than 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then you probably do want to keep it outside of the stock market if you plan to use this to buy a home, let's say, for cash or something like that. At that point, the challenge is rates are so low right now, Vivian, there's not going to be anything you're going to be excited about. You probably earn about 0.75 point at best right now. I would look at a couple of websites. You could go to Marcus.com. They're paying 0.8%, nearly at 1%, 0.8% on their online savings account. It'll be FDIC insured, and that's what you're looking for. You can link it to your checking account. You could also look at Ally Bank, and they offer a high yield savings as well. And I think they're paying about 0.8 right now as well. That's about the best you're going to do. Obviously, as rates move up, the interest rates associated with high yield savings will move up as well. Unfortunately, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to get a CD right now, because you're not going to get much more than that, and you're going to have to lock up up your money. So I'd look at Ally or Marcus.com, and I think you're certainly on the right track, and congratulations for being such a diligent saver.
Vivian, thank you very much. Thanks. God bless you.
Rob, we're pretty much out of time here. Any thoughts in regard to worshiping these days, as many churches aren't having worship services? Still in all, we can worship a living God from pretty much anywhere, huh?
Oh, we sure can. Our family does it from our living room every week. I would just say stay faithful to your church, stay plugged in, and keep giving.
Mm-hmm. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks for listening.